brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is not Stacy Key. This is Vic Bolton, and I'm your guest host today. Ms. Key is otherwise unavailable. And I'm sitting in on Let's Talk Small Business Day, where we're going to talk about those things that are important to you as small business owners. We've got some phenomenal guests here with us today, and we want to just take a minute and give you a little bit of background. Let's Talk Small Business is that show. If you're a small business owner, if you're an emerging business owner, even if you're a corporate procurement professional, this information that's going to go forth in the next little while is for you. It happens every Tuesday at 11:30, live on Business Radio X. And we're live in the Atlanta studios of Business Radio X today with two phenomenal guests that we're going to share with you in just a few minutes. But we wanted to remind you to engage with us for Let's Talk Small Business. Check us out on the website, the Business Radio X website. Visit gmsdc.org. Interact with us on the GMSDC Facebook page. But Ms. Key will be back next week to host another exciting show. But for today, you're stuck with me. So let's talk a little bit about what we're dealing with today. This month, the month of March, is Women's History Month. And in the context of all the other things we celebrate in the way of history, we have Black History Month in February, although many say that's a year-round engagement to teach our children from whence we've come. And this month, we're celebrating the contributions of women. And I've got two very dynamic young ladies with me in the studio today, and I want to have them share just a bit. First, I've got Dr. Indigo Triplett, who is the chief woman in charge, head CEO, boss lady of Careers in Transition, otherwise known as 4D Performance, who's got some very exciting things to share with us today. Welcome, Dr. Triplett.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I've also got with us Ms. Mary Parker, all of whom you all know. She is the CEO of All in One Security and a longtime business icon in Atlanta. And she has done and acquired just about everything. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me as
well. Oh, it's a thrill to be here with both of you, two ladies that I've read about and admire greatly, and I'm excited about what you guys are going to share today. So let's just take a quick moment and do a bit of our backstory, if you would. Each take a minute or so and just share with us a bit of the who you are and how you got to this place. We'll start with you, Dr. Triplett.
Well, I'm the CEO of Careers in Transition. I'm also an author and a speaker, and I've had my company since 1995. I started off after a couple of stumbles in the corporate arena. I decided that I never want to have a chance where someone can dictate what will happen or not happen with my career. So I started my company, and I started it as a career management firm. As you know, back in 1995, companies used to give you severances, give you coaches. They did a lot for you. And I was one of those people who I would come in and help you if you were laid off. But after a while, we don't see that as much. And I had to reinvent the company. So we started doing performance management, and we started doing it for the federal government. Most of my time is spent in Washington, D.C., doing work with agencies such as the CIA, transportation authorities, Department of Labor, and so forth.
Is there any chance you could do some with Congress?
Well, that's, if we get a chance, we're going to talk about why I'm reinventing myself again.
Yeah, Congress could use a little performance management right about now.
Oh, don't you know?
Okay, Ms. Parker, share a bit with us, if you will, of your background.
Certainly. As Indigo, very similar to what you said about having someone else determine your destination. I came from corporate America, specifically General Motors. However, I started my career as a security officer and just ultimately evolved into that of a corporate head. Well, in doing so, I was also dispensable. My job title was changed from that of director of security to an HR specialist. Well, we know what that means. It's not job sharing. It's actually a demotion, and I received it as such. So afterwards, I spent 6 months with the company, but meanwhile, I was looking for, who am I really? And did I want to stay there? So I ended up moving to Atlanta in 92, started a security firm with a partner, and in 2001, I left that organization and formed All in One Security, which gives us the designation of the only female throughout this country with a full line of security services. We started as a security guard company doing special events and securing construction sites, but today we have evolved into a large personnel base, off-duty law enforcement, as well as integrating security systems.
Wow. So did you ever have to, like, take down a perpetrator?
I can't tell you. My secret's on the air. I still use them.
Somehow, it would seem that that kind of work would be the ultimate good old boys club. Given that we're celebrating Women's History Month, I really want to talk about what it means to be a woman in business a little bit. So, Dr. Triplett, share with us a bit, what was the environment like when you started your company? I'm sure there were some interesting opportunities for you as a woman starting a new business.
Well, it was very hostile. We're talking about 20 years ago in the Deep South. And not only was I faced with the issue of being a woman, and very young at that point, I was only like 32 or something like that, and I looked very young. So I would walk into, you can't make this stuff up, I can walk into some of these corporate heads, and I'm talking about men that you knew and you read about, and I would have meetings with them, and they would say things like, well, how does your husband feel about you meeting with me? Well, and you would be dumbfounded because it's at 9 o'clock in the morning. Or I went to, or they would ask you to dinner. And so I remember once one actually kissed me, just out of the blue, kissed me and said, boy, you're just one sexy woman. And so what I found earlier on is that they would have their a contract in one hand and a penis in the other. It was very, very, can you say that?
You just did.
But it
no censors here.
But that was my reality, and it was very, very difficult. And so that's one of the things that really pushed me from working in the corporate space into the federal space, and many of my clients were women.
Interesting. So at first you built the business largely on the relationships you were able to establish through your women contacts because the men weren't receptive.
Very much so. Very much so. It was much easier and safer to have these relationships with the women, that there was no misunderstandings that I had to fight and struggle with. And that has changed, thank God. And I hope there's not women who are coming along today that have to fight those battles.
Well, let's hope that we've changed a great deal from that point. How about you, Mary? Share a bit of your startup story.
Indigo, you and I have had this conversation in the past as well. Fortunately for me, it's almost like I've worn a halo or something over my head saying, you'd better not try this with me, buddy. But I've never had situations where I was disrespected in that regard by my male colleagues. One of the things I learned early in being in a man's industry is, first of all, to act like a lady. Think like a man, act like a lady. Steve Harvey coined that, but mm-hmm. That is exactly right. You got to go in thinking like them, but yet acting like a lady. I'm not in the industry because of being a woman. I'm here because I'm an expert at what I do. That's what our clients buy, and that's what we sell. And that was the relationship as well as reputation that I wanted to establish early on. This is not a handout. I'm here with solutions. If you didn't need me and the services we provide, you would not call on us. But getting back to the male counterparts, my grandmother taught me something very young, and that was, it's always easier. You catch more bees with honey than with vinegar. Well, I could have gone into many settings, upset as I was, but I never let them see me cry. There were times I'd go in the ladies' room, shed my tears, powder my nose, and come back for round two. And I was just able to hold my own, primarily because I spent much time becoming the security expert. My original career was going to be in law. I wanted to be a lawyer, but I had to change that. And in career path, and I learned the industry. So whenever I went in the room, it was about business. And then when I went out in the evenings, I limited the time that I went. I made sure that I had an ally with me. And I also didn't spend, time alone with men. And so, it worked pretty well for me, although I knew sometimes what they were thinking, but they didn't dare voice that to me.
What kind of obstacles did you see? Were there situations where perhaps you were eliminated from a bid or didn't get an opportunity that you knew had nothing to do with anything except the fact that you were a woman?
Absolutely. We had a situation to occur that way not long ago, right here in Atlanta. We had provided services for this particular corporate 100 client for 5 years. The bid, they decided to consolidate their bid, and we were not invited to bid on that contract. I still have a serious issue when things like that happen. But they decided to only allow 5 major companies to bid on a project. Here is one of the reasons that I had a problem, is because those same organizations tell us, and you know that, with GMSDC, in order to do business with them, we spend our time, our money, and resources to go learn to do business with them. Yet when there's an opportunity available within our categories, we're denied access to bidding on that job. And so I asked the question, how did you determine that we were to not bid on that? And they said, well, we didn't think you had the infrastructure in place. Now, the day that job, that contract started, and I won't give the date because many people will know which company I'm speaking of, not that I'm that protective, but that account started 2,500 hours per week. We were told there were no metrics, there was nothing other than choice that eliminated us from the process. We started a job at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, world's largest, busiest airport, with over 4,900 hours per week. That didn't add up to me.
So you didn't have the capacity to serve that first job, huh?
That's what they determined.
Interesting. Well, I want to talk a bit about some of the secrets of success. You both are obviously quite accomplished in your fields of endeavor. Share with me some of the things. I want to start with, both of you shared bits and pieces of this, which is the concept of work. I have children. We all have children. Some of them are grown-ups now. But there's a different flavor to the way kids today view work and the things we had to do to get where we are 20 and 30 years ago, and wanting to leap to the front of the line and magically have the microwave experience of excellence and income and promotion and all of that. Share a bit about what one has to do to build a career or a company.
Well, a lot of it is about tenacity and resilience. At one point, we used to measure success by IQ. And we used to base it on what a person was able to retain or what they were able to know. And then we started realizing it wasn't about IQ, it was about EQ, your ability to tap into another person and your ability to understand other people. But now, and we learned this at Tuck, I don't know if Mary remembers this, but they talked about resilience, RQ, your ability to be resilient. And I believe in growing a business, if you're resilient enough and able to watch the writing on the wall to see where trends are going and what's going on, you'll be able to sustain a growth capacity company. So that's what I believe really has helped me along the way. And also just forming those relationships that's just unheard of. The relationships I've been able to form over the 20 years, I've had some of my clients since I've started.
Wow. So tenacity is obviously big. I started my career in sales, and one of the things they taught us 100 years ago, Mary, was that no just means to ask me another way. Talk a bit about some of the things you see as vital to being successful starting a business.
Well, that is absolutely one of my favorite terms is when you say no to me, I just find another way to get a yes, if it's supposed to be. In business, we have to learn that every opportunity that presents itself is not the best opportunity for us. So, learning what it is you're selling, who's buying what you're selling, and when are they buying it. You also want to know who's currently holding those contracts as well. But I agree with you, Indigo, in terms of relationships. Being in business for 20 years, I'm very, very grateful to God that I can sleep at night and know that someone's generating business for me. And much of our business today is a direct result of being referred by someone who's utilized our services before. But we also have to include a team. As CEOs of our company, it's totally different than just owning a business. When we start our business, that's what we do. We start a business. Typically, is based on what we as the CEO know how to do. But it isn't until we really engage other skill set, other relationships, and look at other ways of adding more value to what we're doing and how we're servicing clients in order to remain competitive, but more importantly, to continue to grow that business to a scale. That's what we've done in many cases. We've looked at the service we are providing a very satisfied client, and those are the ones you really want to start with, and see where are other areas we can, provide that service for them, enabling them to only have one contract to manage, one relationship to manage, and then offering that contract having multiple levels of services within it.
You know, the GMSDC has chosen as its theme for 2015, Realizing Tomorrow. And the emphasis is on helping the constituent base achieve its goals, whether that's a corporate procurement executive looking for a particular kind of supplier, or one of the MBEs they serve who is looking to engage with a particular corporation or be a part of the Savannah Port or the Atlanta Stadium or whatever project they might choose to be a part of. There's a lot of organizations out there we were talking about off air that serve small businesses. There are the GMSDCs, the Small Business Administrations, the Atlanta Business League, the various chambers of commerce. It just happens that you're both African-American women, but there are also many ethnic organizations that serve the Latin community or the Asian community, that kind of thing. Talk a bit about that business network and the utility of the relationships one can build through those kinds of organizations.
What was interesting for me personally, I've never have generated business as a result of being a member of any of these organizations because I work primarily with the federal government. Many of them are just now starting to put their feet into the federal space, but I've been there for so long that that's not why I've joined. What I've joined is because of the relationships I would have with people like Leona Davenport. I can't even tell you the things that we're able to talk about and the relationship in terms of having a colleague to be able to just bounce ideas off of and support each other that way. Or with a Stacey Keys, who you can give her a call and she's very accessible, which is just telling about her personality. Being able to give her a call and ask her questions about things that may be coming down the pipe, and she's there to answer that. So for me, it's the relationships that I have with the individuals within these organizations that are invaluable for me.
Mary?
And for me, I agree. Having, Stacy and Leona and Roz Lewis and so many others who are heading these women and minority-owned organizations, that network is invaluable for me because I'm more private. We do government as well, but I've built my business through the relationships of corporate diversity and the private sector. But I want to say that in terms of doing business with individuals who are corporate sponsors and so forth, one of the pieces I believe is missing, and I would love to see GMSDC take that on, but I don't see small businesses spending enough time teaching those who are going to utilize their services who they are as business people. It's kind of one-sided. We learn how to do business with you as a corporation, but corporations are not spending time coming into our space, really learning how to do business with us. As such, I'm starting something through my company where we're actually inviting the companies who would utilize the services we provide. We're bringing them out to our house because it's one thing to see what All-in-One looks like on paper, but it's another thing to come out and realize that we have 7,500 square feet of office space. And our presentations are top-notch. So they get to learn about our company. They get to meet our team and realize that we, too, have PhDs on our staff. And I find it to be very, very impressive to do that. And in doing so, what we're realizing is just another method of selling what it is you have to offer.
And I think it brings focus to the point that the work relationship or contract relationship, it's an exchange. It's a transaction. It isn't one-sided. We should each be adding value to the other. And I think sometimes there is the concept that the corps have something that all the small businesses want and that they are all scrambling to try and get that something. But in reality, the small businesses have a lot of value to add to the corporation from a cultural point of view, from an innovation point of view, and certainly from a bottom line point of view. Nobody knows how to stretch a dollar and make it into two like a small business owner. Is that not right?
That is absolutely correct. And you know, a couple other things I want, points I want to add here. It's, I listen to a lot of small businesses, and I know they're not ready to go to corporate, go to market with corporate. But we don't spend enough time, as an on an average, small businesses don't spend enough time knowing what their value add proposition really is. They don't spend enough time knowing what their capability is. You know, if you're bringing in $300,000 revenue, not net, but revenue a year, are you ready to bid on a $2 million project? I don't think so. So we can acquire much of that through that of strategic alliances with other small businesses, bringing major companies on as your subcontractor. But we have this mentality that we always have to be a subcontractor, and we don't. It depends on who has the greatest measurable value to the opportunities that you're going after.
And there's also a big emphasis nowadays on collaboration. There are many opportunities where two folks like you who have very different businesses could perhaps come together and pursue something that neither of you would qualify for by yourself.
Absolutely.
And so we're really encouraging the minority business owners and all the folks in our various spheres of influence to look at people who have something else to offer that you don't. And when you see that big opportunity at one of our major corporates or in government, you may be able to work with someone else on a joint venture that will get you to that table.
Vic, here's one of the things that people don't know, is that I have a pair of pink high-heel steel-toed boots with a pink hard hat because I have a milling and construction company. And to the point that you just added, we're doing a lot of business in the utility space. Well, it's not very many small or minority businesses providing paving services and utilities. So I've gone out and gathered all those individuals and brought them over to my office and said, look, here's what's coming down the pipeline, not only in the utility space, but also look at all the road work, all the construction projects that's getting ready to hit here in the next few months even. We are in a prime position if we go in with a $5 to $10 million bonding capacity than if we go in with my $2 million. And we have a lot more to offer. We have more equipment. We get better deals on our insurance and all of that. So I have a meeting this afternoon with two other small paving companies. The intent here is either to collaborate or to buy them so that we can all, you know, get a greater piece of the pie. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Triplett, share a bit more about your business because I know that you've got something to add here too. Talk about the value that you add, and I understand that you are changing the direction of the business as we speak.
Yeah, one, we're calling ourselves 4D process performance because a lot of people, when you hear careers in transition, you think we're talking about careers, and that was 20, 15 years ago. And so now what we're doing, we've been fortunate enough to make it to the Inc. list, Inc. 500 list, as the fastest growing company in America three times. And so with that being said, we decided that we would take what we've learned along the way as, you know, growing from a basement business all the way to a multimillion dollar business. Let's take what we've garnered and teach other small businesses how to do it. And not only teach it, but offer services that will allow them to grow to capacity. And I actually brought the brainchild of that, if I can bring her on, Tammy Davis, who decided that this would be something that if we reinvent ourselves, and let me share with you why we're reinventing ourselves. The federal government is not spending money the way they used to. If you watch Congress and you watch how things are going, they're basically sitting on the money. They're just not spending the money. And so because of that, we've lost some contracts and some contracts have dried up. So we can either sit there and wait for 2 years for things to turn around, or we can say, let's take what we're good at, which is growing a business, and help other businesses do it. So I'd like for Tammy just to talk about a couple of the things that she thinks are going to really take us to another level.
Hello.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi. So a couple of the things that we've decided to offer to other small businesses are like certifications. We do all the certifications for our company as well as other organizations because there are certifications out there that small businesses don't know about. So we help them learn about the certifications. We do the processes for them so they can go after some of the bigger contracts, so they can bid on government contracts. We also offer the back office support because we have the staff. We have the people that can help them get to another level while they're out trying to get more clients. We can do the back office support. One of the bigger pieces that we offer is invoicing. Sometimes the CEOs are out there doing the work, getting all the work done, and they forget to bill the clients. You know, so we help them do the invoicing, and in some cases, we collect on the invoices so that they won't have to do that. They can stay in the front line doing what they love to do.
Phenomenal. That sounds exciting.
It is. It's taken us it's something that we're good at, and it's something that has taken us to a whole new level that everyone should be have access to. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have access to it, and a lot of people end up going out of business because of the very things that Tammy spoke about.
And it's also good to use what you have in the house.
Right.
Skills you've already developed, capacities that you already have, and take those and refocus them and repurpose them and create new opportunities for you to bring in new revenue. So that's phenomenal.
And one of the things that is dear to my heart is coaching business owners. A lot of business owners will go to people to get coaching who's never owned a business. It's just incredible to me that you can coach on, and it's not to say that you can't do it, but if you want to get to the Super Bowl, you want a coach who's gone to the Super Bowl. If you want to have a business that is going to be a multi-million dollar business, come to a coach who has seen it, know what it takes, and can take you there. And so we provide coaching to small businesses.
Well, it's interesting that you took us there because that was one of the topics we needed to cover today. I wanted to talk a bit about just the whole importance of mentoring and coaching and people who can give you impartation into you as a person, you as a business owner. Share a bit about some of the mentors that you've had along the way or some of the influences on you in your early stages.
I'd like to go back to my days at General Motors, realizing that, as Indigo said earlier, we were much younger 20, 35 years ago, and we were not necessarily the ones to go to our execs when we had ideas. And I went to the library. My first mentor I located as a result of, you know, finding where to go. I'm now in management and security. I don't have the background. I don't see people who look like me, no minorities, no women, and so forth. I went to the library and identified a guy by the name of Jack Hendershot. Jack was the director of security for Steelcase Corporation, which was around the corner for me. But more importantly, he was the regional vice president for the International Security Organization. And I brought him in. The things that he imparted in me about the industry, and they were totally invaluable. If it wasn't for him having that impact on me in early in my career, I would not be where I am today. Then I met a man by the name of George Logan. George Logan is an African American who was director of security at the time for General Mills. He had also been director of security for Levi Strauss as well. So these two men embraced me, I want to say like a daughter, that they wanted to be pleased with in succeeding in that career field. And not only did they talk to me about industry norms, but they also taught me about investing, the money that I made, education, and so forth. And so now today, I do that same thing. I had 20 mentees that I was mentoring at least 1 hour a week. I've now turned that into a form of mentoring program called FACTS. Exactly what you're doing, I'm doing not for profit. But I've wondered, what did I need to create when everyone graduate? Well, that's where you come in. So we'll talk a little bit offline about how we can partner with my FACTS program and lead them right into your program that will offer them the additional support.
Well, it's been identified in many surveys and other kinds of feedback from business owners that perhaps the most valuable resource they can access is solid coaching and mentoring and wisdom for the journey so that you don't make the same mistakes that the two of you may have made 20 or 30. You don't look old enough to be 20 or 30 years at anything. But the mistakes that you've made 20 or 30 years ago, you can prevent someone else saying, sweetheart, step over that pothole right there because been there, done that, didn't like the T-shirt.
That was the birth of my program FACTS. You know, the pitfalls. And if they take the steps that I'm incorporating in this training, they can be where I am in 5 years. In many cases, if they do it immediately with additional support, they can be there in 2 years.
Wow, I'm signing up.
No, me too.
Dr. Tripa, your journey was a little bit different in terms of influences and mentoring. Talk about that a bit.
It was different, but what's interesting, I still had people who poured into me. There's people who would, and my needs were different. I wasn't so much looking for people to talk to me about growing the business or understanding the business. I was looking more for spiritual connections and emotional connections because my journey was a little bit difficult. So I looked for people who I can sit down with, and we would talk about like Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. I wish that was around years ago, because it's things like that that I would have people feed me and grow, and I wouldn't be nurtured that way. And that was what was invaluable for me.
You know, one of the cool programs that the GMSDC is a part of is the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection, which is a phenomenal program doing what you guys are doing, but in a little bit more formalized way, where members of the corporate membership community sign up, if you will, for a one-year relationship with an emerging business from within the family. And they try to match them up with folks in a similar industry, or if you're a logistics company, they might do a UPS. If you're a consumer company, perhaps it's a Coca-Cola. But they try to pair you with folks that can help you grow. And that has proved invaluable to business owners in the community. And I think all the organizations that we've talked about are doing similar kinds of work in terms of mentoring and helping folks to grow.
I was a graduate of the Governor's Mentor Protege Program. And again, in my FACS, in a FACS program, I looked at all the things that were great, and I looked at where we could have added more value, and that's what I've included in my program. Also, I implemented a EASY program that was the acronym for Georgia Women Business Program, and I ran that program for 5 years. So with all the training that I've done, the programs I've implemented, this by far is going to be one of the best programs for small businesses to enter into. And it's not just for security professionals. It's for entrepreneurs overall.
Okay, ladies, I'm going to speak out of turn here for Ms. Key. Ms. Key, if you're listening, please forgive me, but we need to invite you to come back and do some more show with us. We're going to run out of time here shortly, but we didn't scratch the surface with the information that each of you has to share. So I need to see you move your head in a vertical direction that says, yes, I'll come back and do another show. Would you be willing to do that with
Definitely.
Us?
Definitely.
Definitely.
Well, before we wrap up today, I want to give you each just a quick minute, if you would, share that magic bullet, that single nugget. If you could only tell listeners in our audience or small business owners one thing, what would that one thing be?
Believe it or not, it's giving. If you really want to be a success, you have to give. And that's where you'll find your true passion and your purpose in life. One of the things that I do every Wednesday, and I'm kind of pitching here, every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, I have a career coffee chat that I invite people to listen in, and I give advice on their career. I give advice on their business. As a matter of fact, we have someone as far as Hawaii that calls in to listen to this career coffee chat. And that's my way of pouring into others, because people have poured into me.
Mary?
That too would be one of my favorite concepts as well. My favorite scripture is, to whom much is given, much is required. And so I would say to business owners, don't be afraid to invest your time, even if it's a business like yours. It's enough of this out here for all of us, and no one person is ever going to get it all. So, you know, be competitive, but be competitive in the right areas.
As we wrap our discussion around Women's History Month today, I wanted to ask you one final question. One of the really important challenges for women in business is all the many responsibilities that women have. Women can be business owners, they can be employees, they can be parents, they can be wives in relationships of various types. Share just a real quick something or two from each of you regarding the concept of work-life balance for women in business.
Well, for me, it was something I had to learn along the way. I have three different age groups. I have a 16-year-old, a 23, and a 31. So the 31, I had life balance. And then when I started my business, it went away. And now that I'm at a point in my business where I'm comfortable, I have it back. So it really is it's a progression, and it's about learning to be the mother, and it's learning to be the wife. And even though I'm divorced at this point, I was married for 23 years. So having a business alongside of having a marriage was about balancing and finding and striking that balance.
That part was different for me. I was a flower child. I had my daughter right out of high school, and then I started my career. When I started my business, there was no one that I was responsible for. I wasn't married. My daughter was away in college and then ultimately getting married and moving away. So there was absolutely no balance in my life. I went to work and I went to church. I went to work and I went to church. But now, and just a few years ago, I'm very, very happy to say that it has to be intentional. We have to include ourselves and the things we want to do in our schedules. I took off last summer, and I take off every Friday now.
Good for you. Well, ladies, thank you so very much for being with us today. There's phenomenal information for our audience that went forth, and I know that there's a lot more to come, and we're going to ask you to come back at another time. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Let's Talk Small Business today. We know that as small business goes, so goes America. The majority of the jobs that are created and the jobs that are sustained in industry are in the small business sector. And folks like you are great examples of all the good things that are going on in the small business arena. So thank you so much for being here with us today. Hope we get you come back soon. And ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today's episode of Let's Talk Small Business.